Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
Well, it's good to be here this morning. It's good to see you. Welcome. If you're here for the first time, if you're here for the 300,000th, millionth time, if you're watching online, wherever you are, we're glad you're here. It's good to have you with us this morning. And we just give God thanks that God is here. Because when God is here, that's what makes a difference. Amen?
Amen.
That's what makes all the difference. And we're in exciting times. You know, I love it when everything just falls into place. And I just see God bringing everything into place this morning for what he has, what he desires to do, what he has planned. We are in exciting times because we're experiencing things we've never experienced on earth before. And I'm not just talking about Scotland beating England at rugby twice, 2 years in a row. I don't know what went wrong with Wales, but, you know, never mind. But, you know, we are in things where things are happening that have never happened before. If someone had said to you 5 years ago that you'd be experiencing and seeing things on this planet that had never been seen and experienced before, that had never been encountered by mankind before, you wouldn't have believed it, would you?
No.
Yet you are. You are here for such a time as this. That's why God has brought you. And you know, one thing that shouldn't be a surprise for us is that this journey of life is full of surprises.
Yes.
Why do we get surprised when a surprise comes? You know, surprises are part of life, the journey of life that happens. And you know, this tells me that God is on the move. Hallelujah. It tells me that time is short. It tells me it's even more crucial for me to tune my life into God.
That's right.
And to live my life sold out for him.
Yeah.
To do as it says in Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses,
yeah,
let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's how you persevere, by fixing your eyes on Jesus, the one who has made a way, the way maker. It's time for us to be real, because we serve a real God who's looking for genuine people, authentic people, real people who are real in a real world. That's what people are looking for. You see, for too long we've been like the clergyman who was walking down the street when he saw a group of boys surrounding a dog. He said, "What are you doing?" One of the boys replied, "He's a neighborhood stray, this dog, and we all want him. But only one of us can take him home. So we've decided whoever can tell the biggest lie will get to keep him." The preacher declared, "You boys shouldn't be having a contest that involves lying." Then he launched into a sermon, beginning with, "It's a sin to lie," and ending up with, "When I was your age, I never told a lie." There was dead silence. Then just as he was beginning to think he got through to the boys, one of them gave a deep sigh and said, "All right, give the preacher the dog." God's looking for real people. Genuine people who are open and honest about their trials and tribulations and their struggles and the issues we have. You know, the people who can honestly admit 2 Corinthians 12:9 that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. We need him. We can't do without him. And praise God, he's promised in Hebrews 13:5, "Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you." And Zechariah 4:6, as we heard, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." And I want to remind you this morning that when you need him, God is there.
Amen.
Even when you don't feel like he is, he's always there in the midst of the storm. Through the storm, he is there. And I want to remind you that even when you're so caught up in the thick of the fight, even when you're so caught up in the undergrowth, you can't even see your destination, God is still with you.
That's right.
And he will still bring you through.
Amen.
I have a weakness. Well, I have many weaknesses. But one of my weaknesses is that I'm what you describe a hill junkie. And, you know, if I see a hill in the distance where I'm driving somewhere, I want to climb it. you know, I see my name on it, on the summit, and I'm thinking, I want to go up there. And I was driving back from Scotland once, and there are plenty of hills and mountains up there, and I saw one with my name on it. So I parked up, and I started to climb it. And the first bit of the climb was hard work, and I got to the first sort of bit where you could see, and the view was quite spectacular, but the climb ahead was still quite daunting. Because the hill on the I was going up was across this valley, and I had to cross this valley, and it was a really steep descent. And I'm going down this thinking, God, if Sim could see me now. Well, she probably could imagine it. She says, oh dear, there he goes again. There was thick undergrowth, there was rocks, there was streams, there was lots of barriers hindering my progress. And at one point, the earth gave way underneath me. I slipped down the slope on my proverbial. There was mud up my trousers, there was mud down my trousers, there was mud everywhere. And I got down to the lowest point, but at the lowest point, I couldn't see where I was heading. I couldn't see my destination anymore, this hill that I had my eyes set on. And I just knew the only way to get there was to keep going, because I was still on the journey. And sometimes there are many struggles in life, many low points, many difficulties, but we simply need to know we just have to keep going. We lose sight of the end goal, the destination, the prize, and we wonder what's going on. But we have to keep going.
Right.
We don't give up. And I want to read this morning from a passage you're very familiar with, and you may not even feel that you learned something new this morning, but I pray you learn to apply the truth
Amen.
Of what God is reminding us
Amen.
Today and saying to you today. And I love it when God, you know, God just confirms things. About 2 weeks ago, and after being asked to preach, I'm saying to the Lord, what do you want me to speak on? And it was at the prayer meeting a week and a half ago that something was just said, or we prayed something. And I said to Sim, I said, I've got my sermon. God's just, and my sermon title today is Through the Storm. And what did God do? He sent two real life storms, not one, but two, just to confirm his word with signs following. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, that's my excuse anyway, but let's read together from the book of Matthew, chapter 8. The book of Matthew, chapter 8. This passage is also is also recounted in the book of Luke, but we're going to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 8, from verse 23. Jesus calms the storm. It says this, "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?'
Amen.
Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" God will add his blessing to his word.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you it is with power, sharper than a two-edged sword to divide even soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Father, I'm totally reliant on you this morning to minister what you desire to say, Lord. And let men hear what you want to say into our hearts and lives this morning. Give us ears to hear. We ask and pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 On the 15th of October, 1987, in his daily weather forecast, Michael Fish ushered the words that he will be remembered by forever. Many of you will remember it and will have seen it. He said with a smirk, "Some of you have been asking if there's a hurricane on the way." Well, I can assure the people watching, don't worry, there isn't. Just a few hours following that fateful broadcast, in the early hours of the following day, the south coast of England was battered and devastated by one of the greatest storms witnessed for nearly three centuries. 18 people died, 15 million trees were flattened, and winds reached speeds of 115 miles an hour. It wasn't what everyone was expecting. Now contrast that with last Monday, when the Met Office advised us of an oncoming storm later in the week called Eunice. There's no one called Eunice here, is there? No. I told you can actually request storms to be named after yourself now. quite appealing, really, you know. I can you imagine a Storm Nigel? Well, that would only hit Wales, wouldn't it? You know. What about a Storm Rosemary? Well, I'll leave that to your imagination. Well, again, any of us would be left standing, would they? If you're, sorry, Rosemary, if you're watching. But whatever it was named, we had about 5 days to gear ourselves up for it and to prepare for what was coming. And it didn't disappoint, did it? I've seen trees falling, flying trampolines, wheelie bins going for walks by themselves, and I've even seen seagulls flying backwards. Now, sadly, 3 people lost their lives, but compared to the storm of 3 decades ago, that was 15 less than before. Now, what's the difference between these 2 storms, which were probably on a par with each other, strength-wise? The first one took everyone by surprise. The second one we were expecting and prepared for. And that makes a huge difference as to how you survive the storm. And in verse 24 of our reading, it says, without warning, a furious storm came on the lake, so the waves swept over the boat. No wonder the disciples were scared witless and thought they were going to die. They were caught completely unawares. And this wasn't a little storm, you know, as we so often hear. They were experienced fishermen. They knew the storms that could arise. This wasn't just a gentle breeze. This was life-threatening. And the thought that this storm would arise probably hadn't even entered their minds when they got into the boat that day. I wonder if they would have set out in the first place if they'd known that the storm was coming. If Jesus had said, come on, let's go across to the other side. Oh, by the way, there's going to be a massive storm. You guys are going to think you're going to drown. But we're going to get, don't worry, we're going to get to the other side. Do you think they'd have got in the boat quite so eagerly? I'm not sure they would. I don't think I would have. I think I'd have been wearing my life jacket. And the thought that this storm would arise probably hadn't even entered their heads. But, you know, maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe there's a storm facing you that's threatening, you almost feel your very existence. Your livelihood, maybe. Your home, your marriage, your career. But I want to say to you that there was someone in that boat who was not caught out and who wasn't caught unawares.
That's right.
Because God is never caught out.
Amen.
God is never taken by surprise. And God is never left wondering what to do. Oh, no, they've done that. What am I going to do now? Oh, look at Tim now. Look what he's done now. Oh, my goodness. Another mess he's gotten. So what are we going to do, Gabriel? God's not, you know, God has a plan and a purpose. God knows the end from the beginning.
Amen.
He was, he is, and he remains sovereign in every circumstance and situation. And I didn't write that down after Pastor had said it earlier. Because God confirms things, you see. And the fact alone should provide us with comfort to carry on and stand firm in the face of adversity and storms. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. The Almighty. That means he's almighty. That means he's mighty over all. Hallelujah. So lesson number 1 here is expect the storm. Learn to expect the unexpected. Because when you expect the storm, you'll be prepared for the storm. And how prepared you are for the storm determines how you will survive and get through the storm. And we know storms come. 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. I love it in James where he says, rejoice every time you have problems. Rejoice every time you have trials. Be glad and be thankful. And I'm thinking, well, I don't always feel that way, Lord, when that other bill comes through the post. I'm, hey, Sim, look, we got another bill. Praise God. Oh, let me do a cartwheel down the stairs. We got another bill here. It doesn't always work like that, does it? 2 Corinthians 2:11. in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. So we should not be unaware of the surprises that are going to come when surprises come. We shouldn't be unaware of the storms that do come, even when we weren't expecting a storm to come. We shouldn't be lulled into a false sense of security by the sun that's shining at the moment. God wants us to be ready in season and out of season, on every occasion, for whatever comes our way. Big cruise liners are not expected to sink when you go and book a cruise. Well, you hope they don't anyway. But they do carry lifeboats, just in case. Like when you get on a plane. No one's boarding that plane expecting it to crash, are you? But they still go through the safety demonstration at the start of the flight and use words like, in the unlikely event of landing on water. And they get unlikely event of landing on water. I don't want to land on water in this plane. Please leave the plane in an orderly manner. Really? Oh, please. Oh, no, you go first. Oh, no, I couldn't. No, after you, after you. Well, that'd be a British plane, wouldn't it? Every other plane would be, oh, get me out of here. Now, we're not looking for a storm. We don't go looking for them. We're not like these adrenaline junkies, these storm hunters who drive around America looking for tornadoes and huge storms. Most of us are not generally stepping out the front door every day saying, well, I can't wait for the storm to come. But storms do come. Storms do come. And when they do, how prepared are you to handle those storms? John 16:33 says there's a key there. Says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
God wants you to have peace in the midst of the storm. The disciples got into the boat not expecting a storm and panicked when it arose. Jesus got into the boat knowing there was a storm coming and laid down and went to sleep. There was a difference. The other morning, I was getting myself ready for another routine, ordinary day, and I got a call from Sim saying my car had broken down. She was just past the tween-away lights, taking the twins to school, and they got through the lights mercifully, and then the car flashed up some message, as cars do, saying that it wasn't very well, and that she needed to pull over and stop the engine. So she obeyed dutifully and tried to start it, and it wouldn't start again. Fat lot of use that was. Now, Caitlin, my youngest twin, knowing how the car locks the doors once you get going, started to panic. She said, we're going to get lost in the car. We're going to get stuck in the car. What if we never get out? We're trapped forever. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Panicking. Carissa, on the other hand, I'm so excited. I've always wanted to break down. I've always wanted to be able to stand at the edge of the road and wait to be rescued. Oh, I'm so excited. What a wonderful day. It was one child's dream and it was another child's nightmare. One was overcome by the circumstances that she faced and the other had faith that someone would come to their rescue. Unfortunately, their knight in shining armour came to their rescue. Said, oh, I don't know what to do. Get in there, get in the van and go in that one instead. I'll call the AA out. One of them was terrified. One of them was overjoyed. And I wonder which you are today in the midst of your storm. I mean, how could Jesus go to sleep when he knew the storm was coming? I mean, Sim says I'd sleep through anything. I'd sleep through a hurricane. I'd sleep through Storm Eunice, wouldn't I? But, and you know, she'd be on the bed thinking, oh, I hope the tiles are well, the roof is all right, you know. But Jesus has slept in the boat. He could go to sleep because God is greater than any storm.
That's correct.
And he had peace because he knew who was stronger, who was mightier, and who would keep them through the storm. And the same Jesus who said, I tell you these things so that you can have peace, is the same Jesus who has overcome the world, And every storm and every power and principality and ruler of this dark age. He made a public spectacle of the rulers of this dark age. And because he's overcome, you too can know and experience his peace even in the midst of your storm.
Amen.
And it's all about how well you actually know him. Because how well you know him determines how much you trust him, and how much you trust him determines how much peace you have in the midst of the storm that he will bring you through. Because he is in control, even of the wind and the waves and the storm itself, because he has overcome the world. And this is what God says to you in Zechariah 3:17. And you need to hear this and apply this and maybe even meditate on this word. The Lord your God is in your midst.
That's right.
He's in that storm. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Lesson number one. Learn to expect the storm. Lesson number two, get to know him better so you'll survive the storm. Get to know him better. You see, the destination was already secure and already planned. And the reason Jesus could sleep was because he knew that no storm, no matter how powerful, no matter how strong, could interrupt or hinder the plans and purposes of God. Why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the other side, of course. Why did Jesus and his disciples get into the boat? To get to the other side, of course. There was a purpose and there was a plan in place. And Jesus had a destiny to fulfill. And you and I have a destiny to fulfill. There were two demon-possessed men on the other side who needed delivering.
That's right.
There was a miracle waiting to be fulfilled on the other side. A demonstration of the mighty power of God, where a legion of demons were about to be cast into a herd of pigs that were going to hurtle down the hill into a lake and be drowned. With such a demonstration of the power of God that the entire town would come out to see what had happened. Lesson number three, you're in the midst of a storm because of the call of God on your life.
Thank you, Lord.
There are people who need saving. There are people who need delivering. There are people who need setting free on the other side of the storm. And in the words of the songwriter Chris Tomlin, greater things are still to come and greater things are still to be done in this city. Oh, in your town. And in your life, and in your world, and in your surroundings, and in your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God has a plan. Because there's a world out there that's not looking for wise and persuasive words, but they're looking for a demonstration of the Spirit's power, 1 Corinthians 2:4. And there's a call on your life to go and fulfill the ministry and destiny God created you for and to demonstrate the power of the Spirit working through you. The plan and purpose that he created for you when he knit you together in your mother's womb and all the days ordained for you were written in his book before even one of them came to be. Psalm 139 verse 16. Some of us need to read that verse. Some of us need to have that verse on our very bedposts. All the days ordained for you were written in his book before even one of them came to be.
Right.
All the days. And no storm, no opposition, nothing. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon forged against you will prevail.
Amen.
You will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Are there any servants of the Lord out there this morning?
Amen.
Because this is your heritage, hallelujah. This is what God declares. No weapon forged against you will prosper. No storm can stop you. Nothing can stand in your way because God has ordained it and his purpose is sure. His promises are yes and amen, as we heard. And nothing can move them. Nothing can change them. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word accomplishes that for which he was sent, hallelujah. This is the God you serve. Is this the God that you know?
Yes.
Is this the God that you know?
Oh, yes.
Because when you know, hallelujah, when you know what you know what you know, it's the truth that you know that sets you free, John 8:32, hallelujah. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. There is no storm on earth, above earth or below, that can hinder or stop or stand in the way of your God. If God has said it, if God has declared it, it will happen and it will come to pass. Isaiah 55:11, so my word that goes forth from my mouth, it will not return from me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Are you getting the picture here? God is for you. And if God be for you, who can stand against you? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. You are going to make it through this storm. I say again, you are going to make it through this storm. There are people who are hearing this morning who need to hear this morning. You are going to make it through this storm. This is a word from God for you, for such a time as this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So stop fearing the storm. And as I say to my wife so often, sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey, even if I am driving. You've probably heard of the international speakers, Stuart and Jill Briscoe. And I was listening to Jill speaking the other week, and she was talking about her early experiences of flying. And she described how she was a nervous wreck. She was one of those who was convinced that if God had meant her to fly, he'd have given her wings. She talked about having to take sedatives every time before she even got on an aeroplane. And on one particular flight, it was a bit of a bumpy road. And during a patch of rough turbulence, the plane was bouncing up and down, and she grabbed her husband's hand, and she said, I'm not sure why, because he was going up and down as well, so I don't know how it helped, but I just grabbed hold of him. And she told him how terrified she was, and he just looked at her and said, you are completely safe because you're not going to leave this planet a single second before your time is up and you have fulfilled all the days ordained for you that God has purposed. To which she replied, well, at the moment, I think I've fulfilled all those days and now is the time. But they made it to their destination safely. And she lives on to travel around the globe on a weekly basis and to testify of the goodness of God in the land of the living. Psalm 27:13. Lesson number 4. Don't fear the storm. Rest at peace in the God who speaks to the storm. To the God who speaks to the storm and the storm obeys. Matthew 8:26 in our reading. Jesus replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Oh, I could do with Jesus around some summers when I want to go down the beach and it's blowing a hooli, and Jesus could just speak to the wind and the waves and say, sun, come out, and the clouds would disappear and they would be. He rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. What was he showing his disciples? He was showing his disciples that he was Lord. He was showing his disciples that he was in charge. Some of us need to realize that God's in charge. You know, some of us need to realize that, you know, it's not us in charge, it's God's in charge. I remember there was a guy I knew, we used to say, he was called Phil, and we used to say the only difference between him and God is that God knew he wasn't Phil, but he thought he was God. You know, sometimes we realize it's not us. It's not about us. It's God. It's God.
Thank you, Lord.
He rebuked the wind and the waves. It was completely calm. And then the disciples were even more afraid. Verse 27, the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." And as I said at the start, God is in charge and can speak to the wind and the waves, can speak to your storm today and bring complete calm where there is utter turmoil. He can bring complete calm for you today where there is utter turmoil.
Thank you, Lord.
The words that you've been told might not have changed, but the aspect and the attitude has changed and switched because of what you see of God in the boat with you. Because you see God with you, because you know God is there, because you know God is in charge. And suddenly that which was a turmoil within you, within your mind, within your stomach, within inside, there is calm coming because you know that God is there.
Thank you, Lord.
Because you know that God has promised, his word says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be there. I love what it says in the Message translation in Ephesians 1, verse 20 to 23. It says, God raised Jesus from the dead and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe.
Yes.
Everything from galaxies to governments. No name, no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. Amen. He is in charge of it all and has the final word on everything.
Thank you, Lord.
At the center of all this, Christ rules.
Hallelujah.
Do you remember you used to write on the wall, Tim rules okay? In graffiti on the... Did nobody else do that? Oh. Well, I want to tell you, Christ rules okay.
Amen.
Christ rules okay. Your God rules. Your God reigns. Your God is King. Hallelujah. Let's have the band back this morning, if you could, please. Lesson number one. You need to expect that a storm will come. I'm not a prophet of doom here this morning. This is reality, the reality of life. That storms, trials, tribulations come. Expect a storm to come so that you can be prepared for when the storm does come. Lesson number two, get to know him before the storm comes. Don't wait till you're in the middle of the storm to panic and say, oh God, where are you? I need to know, I need to hear your voice. Because it's difficult to hear the voice of God in the midst of the storm when there's so many voices all around you, when there's so much distraction around you. But in the peace before the storm, the calm before the storm, you can get to know God. You can learn to hear and know the shepherd's voice. Can we do Cornerstone again, please? Lesson number three. You're in a storm because of the call of God on your life. Every person here, every person watching, God created you with a plan and a purpose in mind. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. A hope and a future. And God has a hope and a future for you. And lesson number four, learn not to fear the storm, but instead fear the one who's in charge of the storm and sovereign over all. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you know, I sense there are people who are fearful in the storm. And I understand. And you know, God understands as well. He understands why you feel fearful. But he wants to help you in that fear. He's not judging you or condemning you in that fear. He wants to help you and release you from that fear. He wants you to be free from that fear today. The word I've got is paralysis. Because there are some people here who are paralyzed by fear. By what's been said to them, by what's been told them, by what's happened, by the circumstances. It paralyzed you and stopped you in your steps. And I believe God is saying today, he wants to release you from that paralysis. He wants to get you going again and saying, I am in this boat. I am the one who is in charge of your storm. And I will speak to the wind and the waves. I will rebuke the wind and the waves. And there will be complete calm surrounding you. Hallelujah. This is your God.
Yes.
The only way to survive the storm is through knowing him personally. And my question for you today is, how well do you know him? Because how well you know him will determine how well you get on in the storm that you're facing, or even in the storm that will inevitably come your way. Many of you will have heard this, but the question is, do you know him? My king was born king. My Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. My king is the only one of whom there are no means of measure that can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of the shore of his supplies. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No storm can stop him. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's honest. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the grandest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of historic theology. He's the carnal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. Hallelujah. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the one who's able to supply all our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he says, he's the almighty God who guides and keeps all his people. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble, he blesses the young, he serves the unfortunate, he regards the aged, he rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. That is my king, says Reverend S.M. Lockridge. Do you know him? Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseers of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. But he's indescribable. That's my king. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. And he's irresistible. Hallelujah. Let's stand together this morning. I'm coming to tell you that the heavens cannot contain him. Man cannot explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him. You can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him. They found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree about him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Hallelujah. He always has been and always will be. He's the fact that he had no predecessor, he'll have no successor. There's nobody before him, there'll nobody be after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That is my king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The power to my king. We're talking about the power. We're talking about the power. Thine be the power and the glory. All the glory is his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? Forever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the evers, then amen and amen and amen and amen. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.